And so here we go again. Thank you all to those who are joining in through BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible for us. This is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call. And we have a few people on the line, on the phone line. Every time you hear a ding, there's somebody else joining in. You're about 7 minutes early. Thank you, BBS. And, yeah, this is the questions answered tonight.
All righty, then.
All righty.
Do you know what the question is?
No, I have not seen the email yet. Let me check again. Okay. Wasn't in yet. No, still not.
Okay, that's okay.
Well, at this point, the question is, what are the questions?
I like that one.
Story of my life.
hey, that's who? What was the group that had that song?
Right? Oh, I don't know.
Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Wanda in Canada.
Good evening to you, Wanda. Welcome.
Good evening. Thank you.
All right.
So how many of you
got the Booty Blues.
Is that Donna?
Yes, Wanda. Hi, how are you?
Hi. Oh, trying to get over this cold still.
Oh, goodness, honey. We've all opted for three fingers of brandy tonight.
Yeah.
And don't worry about
wand.
Tomorrow.
Did you try that wand that you get on eBay?
Where should
Sorry,
I put it on
my
throat?
Reminder. Yeah, it worked for me. It helped me get over the flu.
Yeah, I should try it.
I've been doing it every day since, so I don't get it back.
Come on, you gotta.
Tell us how you really feel.
Huh? It's too warm. It's too warm up here for winter. So everybody's sick.
Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Robin Glendora.
Hey, California. Rob. To the call. How are you doing?
Very good, thank you.
All right. If somebody else came in after you, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, Shirley from Ohio.
Hello, Shirley. Welcome to the call. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
All right. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
And then welcome to the next call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Edna.
Guten Abend, Edna. Wie geht's dich?
Guten Abend. Geht's gut, danke. Und dir?
Sehr gut, danke.
Super.
Wow.
All right.
I feel so international. What if they're just saying really horrible things and we don't know what they're saying?
Oh.
It's not today, but good evening. How are you?
Oh, man. So boring. Oh, okay. My imagination was really going there.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
John from Las Vegas.
Hey, John. Good evening and welcome.
Hi.
Thank you for being here. Viva Las Vegas.
Yeah, where all the cool people are. Yeah. Are you cool?
Oh, sure.
And welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
This is Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Jeannie, welcome. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. How are you? Hi.
Good. Thank you for being here.
Hello, this is Terry from Dallas.
Hello, Terry from Dallas. Thank you for joining in.
Hello. Oh. Thank you.
All right. And I think we had another caller come in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Miss Marilyn from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Marilyn. Welcome back. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Hi.
All right. Good evening and welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
I was Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, sorry, everybody.
Hello, Don. Welcome. And I'm glad you're here.
Danke.
All right. Welcome to the conference call. Please say a name and location.
Good evening, Mr. Lone Wolf. Mr. Don.
Lone Wolf, how are you?
I'm great, man. You okay, huh?
Absolutely. Thank you for being here.
My honor. And pleasure.
And the next caller, I welcome you. If you want to, please say a name and location. But only if you want to. Thank you for being here. All right. I welcome all those people that are joining in radio online. You're still 2 minutes away from the hour. I welcome the next caller. On the conference call, please say your name and location.
Gilbert, Central Florida.
Hello, Gilbert. Welcome. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
All right. And somebody else joined in? Welcome to the...
Percy, North Carolina.
Good evening, Percy. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you, Howard.
All right. Thanks for being here.
Oh. Hi, this is Wolf. I forgot to tell you, how are you doing?
Fantastic, man.
Cool.
Good evening and welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, guys. This is Terry.
Terry Brown.
Terry. Hi.
Thank you so much for...
Hello.
...being here.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hello.
Hello, Terry.
And we had several lines come in. Welcome to the call. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
This is Aurora Seco, New Mexico.
All right. Welcome from New Mexico. And I heard a lady's voice.
Terry in Boulder City.
Hi, Terry. Welcome. How are you?
Hi. It's okay. How are you?
All right. Doing well. And somebody else joined in. If you want to, please say your name and location. Mm-hmm. Only if you want to.
Is that an original song by you, Heiss?
No.
Who did that to me? Who did that to me? Ow! Get the fuck out of here!
Bonnie. Oh,
there's
Bonnie. Hello,
I didn't do anything
Bonnie.
To you.
I heard some noise. Hello, is it Bonnie?
Yes.
Welcome to the call, Bonnie.
Thank you.
All right. And who else joined in? Please say your name and location.
Hi. My name is...
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm from Cleveland, Washington.
Hello from Cleveland, Washington. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Who else joined in? If you want to, please say your name and location.
It's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Jane. How are you?
Good. Very good.
All right.
And this is Chris in Scappoose, Oregon.
Hello, Chris. Welcome back.
Hi.
Welcome to the call. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
This is Ron in Mountain Grove, Missouri.
Hey, Ron. Welcome. How are you?
Okay. How you doing, guys?
Good. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Ron. It's Carola.
Hey, Carola. How's it going?
Good. Have you heard from our friend?
Who's that?
You know who.
Dwayne?
I can't say his name.
Oh. That bad, huh? I haven't talked to him in 8 months.
That's great.
Oh.
We had more people join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to. We are past the hour. Terry, you know about his whereabouts? Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Marshall, Lake Villa, Illinois.
Hey, Marshall. Welcome back.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing excellent.
All right.
Just got out of school. Just got done teaching.
All right. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing, Marshall.
What's that?
Thank you so much for doing what you are doing.
You're welcome.
Hey, Marshall?
Yeah, what's happening, man?
Hey, what city are you in? Remind me.
Lake Villa. And it's like Chicago. Just north of Chicago.
Illinois. And I didn't ask your question, did I, last week?
The last week you were talking on another show, I believe, and talking about spinning and the whole spinning thing we were talking about.
I mean, you had a question. Let me see here.
Yeah, I did. It was about the whole
spinning. Wait a second. It was a vision, incredible vision, spinning around central mass of light, right? Remember that one?
Yes.
Did I ask that?
No, you didn't. Not last week.
Okay. I don't
Now, talking about spinning this, we were talking to you earlier before the call, spinning clockwise. Do you lay the clock on the floor or put it on the ceiling?
Say that again.
If you need to spin clockwise with your body.
Hello, hello, hello.
Clockwise is relative to how you're looking at it.
Right.
Hi, Jim.
Will or the relative?
Hi, Jim.
Hello. Hello. Should I announce? Should I announce myself, or am I too late?
You have announced yourself.
I have an old dear. Oh, well, okay. Well, here I am, and there you are.
Thank you for being here, Jim.
Thank you for saying that.
You have such a very distinct, honorable voice.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, but when do you get to know him?
That's the way it is with everybody, isn't it?
I'm withholding comment on that last remark.
Did you give an answer on the spinning?
You lost a good opportunity there, Jim. Okay. If I was you, I would have said, "Well, when do you get to know when?"
Oh, don't worry. He has plenty of chances.
Children play nice together.
So, what was the verdict on the spinning? Is it clockwise looking at the floor or clockwise looking at the ceiling?
Spin to your right.
Either way, you get dizzy.
Spin to your right.
I would say clockwise looking at the ceiling, and if you get dizzy, then don't do it. Just think about it.
Just make sure there's a bed to fall on.
Do the hokey pokey.
Perfect. I'm pretty sure you put the clock.
I thought it was spinning to the right.
Yeah,
that's clockwise
would be
to the right.
Through the floor. That would be.
Yeah, well,
it has to be on the floor.
If you stretch your arm out, your thumb all the time while you're doing it, you will not get dizzy. As dizzy. This is Wolf. I had a friend that told me you go to the right, and she told me 33 times. It took me a while to be able to do that.
I did it 100 times.
I do mine in a chair.
Office chair. Yeah,
when we start the recording, all you guys can share your experiences of what happened to you when you're spinning. Okay? Terry, are you there?
Okay.
Is Terry there?
Yep.
Terry, are you on
mute? I'm here.
Hi.
Hey.
Okay. It's nice to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Now, can you guys imagine St. Catherine walking around in that church and this bunch of women following her around everywhere?
What are you doing, Lily?
Huh?
Are you five?
Background.
Am I what? Oh, that's background noise?
Yes.
Okay. I think we are not ready to get started, so we shall mute everybody. And
go to your room.
Go to your room. That's right.
Can you hear me?
Time out, they call it.
I'm the one with all the kids, remember?
how many kids do you have?
How many?
Now you got how many? How many is a lot of kids?
Oh, it's Chris. In Oregon.
Chris.
I'm the one with all the kids.
Yeah, how many?
I have 9 at home, but we have 25. We've adopted 21, and the rest are birth kids. So, and we have grandkids. We're older. We're both in our 60s, but Wow. My youngest one is 8. Yeah, they're all adopted. Of course. I'm in my 60s.
Oh, that'll keep you busy.
Yeah, I'm busy.
Quieter than I would imagine.
You have 25 adopted kids. Okay?
21 adopted. 21 adopted.
21.
Yeah, from different countries. All different countries. And they were not babies. They were older kids when we adopted them.
Now, I think that's awesome. But tell me something.
Yeah.
What's your husband do for a living?
He's an architect, but that's a myth that they make a ton of money. We have always struggled, but I tell you, money has just flowed to us in really strange ways, really interesting ways. Yep.
I think that's an awesome service you're doing. Were they mostly orphans? Or
yes. Yes.
Children?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, I know Terry and I are a little old, but do we qualify?
Yeah, you probably could.
If you want to adopt or be adopted.
Yeah.
To adopt.
We have two. This is going to... I should play the tape recorder. This is funny. Hang on a second.
This conference is being recorded.
This is January 28th, 2015, when in Terry and Sedona and everybody everywhere and all of you on the Internet. Hello to everyone on the Internet listening. And Chris was on the line just before we started, and she kind of said, get in the room. Get in your room.
Go to your room.
I said, who said that? And so she confessed, and I asked her how many kids she had, and she told me 21. Okay,
21 at that point.
And so I thought, you can tell we're not muted yet. Okay, who wants to confess the sneezing? Uh-oh.
Guess what?
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 What? So I was just... You know, I think let's... Hi, get your mute button ready.
I'm ready.
Okay. I think it's awesome that Chris volunteered to bring in 21 kids, and they're all orphans. And I was thinking, it's very interesting, because today I got two questions from people. And it's amazing when you get questions, how suddenly people ask almost the same question on the same day, okay? And the question is about people whose mothers have died, and why aren't they talking to them in their dreams? So I think how many of you felt abandoned by your mother?
Gee, that's a good question. I really don't know the answer. I'd have to think about that.
How many of you felt abandoned by your father?
I confess to both.
Both. You confess to both. Both.
I abandoned both.
Oh, I did also.
Well, probably.
I abandoned my mother.
It was a reaction, huh? Yeah, you know, actually, people that come, you know, this whole thing of, this is the recording going on, this whole thing about your parents is quite a big deal, because if one chooses their parents, then why did they choose, that's a good question, I'm going to put that question in for tonight, you know, why do people choose parents that don't bring them up? in a loving way?
I have an answer.
I do, too.
So do I.
Okay. Well, you guys want to give your answers, or should I?
Because in a past life, they probably did not take care of the children that they had. I mean, you think, look at the news and some of the things that parents do to their kids. So I would guess that's a learning experience for someone to then be the child with a parent like that.
I see. That's a good potential. You know, I'll bet all these answers are right, because I'll bet there's not one answer. But we'll ask our sources. And anyone else have one?
Yes,
I do.
Mine was about alcoholism. Mine was about alcoholism, and I was fourth-generation alcoholic, and I quit about 20 or 30 years ago, but my parents both died from that, and it's a long story, but I think most understand what I'm saying.
So when you were kind of deciding to come into your parents, were you drunk on the other side and say to you guys?
I must have been, because they were wild childs, but they were great souls. One was royalty on the Welsh side, and the other was Viking from the north side, so they were trippy folks.
Now, who else had something to share?
I did.
Is that Donna?
Yes, Donna. My mother was very alcoholic and abusive, and after she passed, she came back to me and told me she didn't realize that how high spiritual I was and how sorry she was for the way she treated me. And I've often felt that I chose to go with her to try to help her to advance.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was very spiritual and was always a very good parent, but he died when I was 15. So...
Mm-hmm.
So I have the capability of seeing both of them in spirit. So everything is patched up between all of us. And I'm happy I had the experience I've had with them.
That's great.
It's really lovely.
That's great. It's great that you patched it up.
Yeah. I love them both dearly. I really do.
Mm-hmm. And anyone else? Let's hear a wild one. And the gentleman who was there, I didn't recognize your voice yet.
I guess it's a girl. That's okay.
You're a girl. No, there were two of you. There were two of you at once. What's the wild one?
The wild one is I committed suicide last life, and so I had parents that were just like my life situation when I committed suicide. So in other words, it was right back in the same situation. And that's why. So I dealt with it.
Okay. And who shared that? Who was that?
That was Paula in Hemet, California.
Paula, okay. And there was someone else that wanted to share.
Percy, North Carolina.
Hi, Percy.
How are you? These 21 kids coming in, it was last call before our transition to the fourth dimension.
Now, if anyone's tuning in late, we were asking the question, why did I choose crappy parents?
I wish you'd be more direct.
Well, I actually said unloving parents. You know, many of us had difficult childhoods, and our parents didn't really bring us up in the way we wished, and we still carry those patterns. I mean, I know this really clearly. I mean, it is so important. Parents are so important, because if you observe those people that are always balanced and always cheery, and they feel like, how do they do that? Almost always, they came from a loving family.
I did.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it creates an inner sense of balance through your entire life. And if you didn't come to the loving family, it's like you can get that balance, but it doesn't come easily. You got to work at it. You got to let go. You got to get let go of your experience as a childhood. And it seems to be, to a certain degree, extremely prominent aspect of how we are until we get over it. I know, anyone else want to talk about, anyone else want to band out their parents? Get it off your chest.
I agree with everything that you said, because I was raised in a military school after 12 years old, after they did their things, and I was separated from both. So the military school took over for the next 4 years.
And
that was an interesting experience. Military school as a family kind of sucks, y'all.
They weren't any better than your parents, right?
I heard that. I wasn't good at taking orders, man. I wasn't hip to it.
Would you shut up?
Yeah, we're all into taking orders. It's only you. Must have been really harsh. That must have been
Me 4 years to get kicked out of the thing, man. That was working
good
at it. Then I got 2 years of public school with my grandmother and uncle, and that was pretty trippy. I got to play football.
But you know what? You got to decide who you are, right? You didn't.
Well, I'm coming along.
And the one thing about having crappy parents is you go and you go, what? You know what? You're insane. I guess I'll decide who I am, because you have no right to make any decisions.
Oh, yeah.
You really
got
to do that.
Try military school and they're doing that crap for you. That was a joy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think, now here's a good thing. We're going to ask our sources, but, you know, in my case, no one has mentioned my situation, okay? And I haven't even known this is true, but my father, okay, imagine this. Do you guys hear my story about my father?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. My father, my father killed me in another lifetime, and he poisoned me, and then he was an innkeeper, and I did something to embarrass him or humiliate him, and I know the whole story.
You've been a bad boy for a long time, Wynn.
You're not shy.
Well, George, it takes one to know one.
Right.
I hear you. Go to your room.
I know you people are too sensitive. Tell them to get over it.
Yeah. Wow, that was
a new.
I guess he's not over it.
I think Wynn was breathing again. You know, you got your pants on tonight, Wynn?
No, that was probably our sources saying, "Would you guys stop talking so we can?"
Hi, Morgan in California.
Hi, Morgan.
Hi.
Morgan.
Yes.
You want to take an opportunity and badmouth your parents?
My parents?
Yeah.
No, I forgave them a long time ago.
Okay.
You can still forgive them and still badmouth them.
Badmouth. All right.
Can I say something?
Who is
Am
that?
I muted?
Who is that?
No.
Am
I muted?
We hear you.
Am I muted? You hear me?
We hear you.
I'd like.
Oh, wow. What?
This is.
Go ahead. Hello?
This is Bonnie. This is me right here. I want to say something good about parents. I had a very interesting two people that I was raised by, my mother and father, and I want to thank them personally because they're probably right here now listening to this. But there were hard times and there were wonderful times, but I was raised the old-fashioned way, and I really feel for the children today because the environment is different. Everything is different now, and I am so grateful for the way my parents raised me. And I'm not saying it was easy. It was not easy for either one of them. My father worked on the railroad, and my mother was, you know, she tried to best she could to raise us children the way she could, you know, limited income and all that. But it was a good upbringing, and I have to thank them right now because I know they're listening. God bless
That's
them both.
So wonderful. That is so wonderful to hear.
I feel that way, right. too. I feel that
Not
way.
A positive, but I would drop the phone.
They
this
did
is
the
well,
best
on a
they
positive
could.
Note also. Mine sobered up, and they became very cool people before they crashed. They really did. Mom was a Viking. Dad was Welsh. And they left this planet in peace. That's a true story.
That's
wow.
good.
That's awesome. So there's both.
Which military academy?
Elsinore Naval Military Academy in Elsinore, California. Oh, I was there when the lake was still dry. I played drums before Pat Brown when I was 13 years old, and they brought water to the lake. So even as a little one, I was rock and rolling.
That was Hargrave Military Academy, Chatham, Virginia.
I know of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Were you there in the winter and summer? I was there year-round in mine.
No, just I was out for the summer.
Did humans come and visit you?
Like once they allowed it, once every 3 to 6 months. Like that.
Wow, mine were supposed to come every week, but they, you know, they make it when they could. And Sunday was dress parade, and they'd show up and clap, clap as we march around and play soldier, you know.
Right.
It was entertaining. I was a drummer back then, so I learned some good beats and crap, and I became a pretty good drummer later.
I'm going to mute everybody, okay, so we have some time to ask questions, okay?
Right.
And,
all callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
For those of you that tuned in late, we started talking about mothers and fathers, and many of us, some of us have been lucky enough to have a really good childhood and felt loved. And probably more people didn't have good childhoods and had to go through forgiving your parents and clearing the patterns that were established for them in their childhood. And I started to tell my story. I'll just finish it because there's a couple. We're going to ask a question about this, but there was a couple of interesting things about my parents. And years ago, I happened to have a reading from somebody, and I knew it was accurate. I had amazing validation, and there was a person who owned an inn, and I went into the inn, and they poisoned me. And then I believe the innkeeper and his wife buried me in their backyard. And then it said, because he took my life, he owed me a life if I chose to take it. I had the free will to do it or not. And so later... I learned that I had a particular reason to want to incarnate in Philadelphia. And I apparently chose this person from the other side because I wanted to incarnate in Philadelphia, and they were in Philadelphia. And so that was my father and my mother. And my mother was really beautiful, and she was always coming to my defense. But my father was always, I was never good enough. He would punish me for nothing. I mean, it was like I couldn't wait to leave home. And I did manage to forgive him. and I think he managed to like me. But when I knew about this incident where he had killed me, and then I looked at it, how it was subconsciously that he was kind of killing me in my childhood. He wasn't happy that I was there. And, of course, this is on not on a conscious level. So that was my experience. And it took me a long time to overcome feelings of self-rejection because my father had rejected me. And there's another thing that I would like to ask in this question. We're going to do it in just a moment. And that is the question that those of us that have had really difficult childhoods, did we choose those because on some level, some part of us knew that that particular kind of childhood would cause us to get stronger and overcome a pattern that perhaps we were carrying? Because even when you come from a very loving childhood and you're a very loving person, sometimes you don't have the trust to grow. And I am sure that Terry and I wouldn't be doing what we're doing today if we had really great childhood. There's something about it that makes you reach for truth in a very strong way, and then you don't regret it. Also, when you really, when I realized I chose my family, when I really got that, I said, how could I bitch about having a difficult childhood? I chose it, and I took responsibility for it, and that helped me quite a bit in reconciling it all. And Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
And you're not muted.
And this...
No. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's call in the light. Who do I hear talking there?
It was me when I didn't know you were going to ask for Terry, and I was going to say, could I say something about choosing difficult parents?
You know what? Is it fast? Got to be really fast. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was the second child of five, and I was the only girl. But I, my choice, my luck, my good luck came when I had the nuns for school from before I went to first grade till I graduated, and they taught me about Jesus, and I was very glad all my life almost about that, and I feel like that was a blessing that maybe I hadn't had in a previous life. You know,
the nuns were kind of parenting you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. My mother was very busy with the boys all the time, and her and my parents unfortunately found alcohol as teenagers, and they never got over it. They worked 6 days a week, each of them, in their different jobs. They worked extremely hard and extremely long, but they any break they got, they didn't want to spend with us. They wanted to go, you know, to a bar or sit on the beach and drink or whatever, you know. And I had no use for any of that, thank God. So.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing.
You all callers are muted.
Let's go into this. Just mentioning, when Jesus said the sins of the parents are visited upon the children, it's really true, except I wouldn't use the word sin. I wouldn't, in general. I would use the word, I would describe it as your parents had an energetic structure around their chakra system. You know, either their hearts were radiant, or they weren't, or their power chakra was radiant. And when you're brought up, when you came in from the other side, you did carry your DNA, carried your past life track. Now you're around your parents' energy field. And that energy field of your parents is totally programming your energy field. And if you came in as a more advanced or a more evolved soul, and you got caught in your parents' field, for better or worse, you're going to be molded into that field. You're going to have to work hard to get into your own higher vibration. And you'll do it. You can do it. But understanding that process, and I'm pretty sure that's what Jesus meant when he said the sins of the parents are visited on the children. We all can see our energy fields are always being conditioned by everything around us. And we're conditioning the energy fields of others as well. And as you get stronger, you project a more balanced energy field. And you have to be very diligent to maintain that energy field, because other people will attempt, and even they won't attempt, you'll just be around them, are going to be constantly conditioning your field into something that you can reflect their field, or, you know, essentially contracting you. And so, on that note, let's bring in the light, Father, Mother, God. We ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our soul, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. This is spot on, and we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is the 28th of January, 2015, and we are honored to be with you this day and to be available to each of you who wish to connect, but wish to silently connect or to ask questions. We are honored to be here. Do you have questions?
I'm going to ask the first question, just a little preliminary conversation about parents and why we pick difficult parents and some of the reasons for that and how to get over a difficult childhood and And I'll just leave it at that. Thank you. Why do we pick difficult parents, and how do we get over the conditioning of a difficult childhood?
Thank you. Within the planet Earth and third density, there are situations presented that allow for growth for the individual. Many of the patterns that individuals have go back to ancient times and have been laid in. And in a lifetime, they do not come to the surface unless they are triggered. As we look at the question, we see that not only are many of the parents difficult, but many of the children are difficult. In a child's lifetime, there is often an incident as they are growing up when they are young that triggers one of the patterns that was laid in many thousands of years ago in an earlier lifetime and is sitting there latent and can be triggered. It is an opportunity and a difficulty, but an opportunity for one to work through a pattern, to see one's pattern. Often they choose parents that have interlocking patterns to theirs that then trigger their pattern. It is an opportunity. When the child chooses a parent, it is not necessarily because it is a difficult parent. It can be the reunion of a family that has been reincarnating together in a sort of a group soul expressed in the manifest in the third density over and over. And the child and the parents can resume the opportunity to get to know each other and to re-experience the joys and re-experience working through things. Sometimes a parent will reincarnate back into the same body line, even perhaps being their own child. We're reminded of one family in which this occurred, and the child remembered being the girl's father and said to the parent, when the parent became the child, and the child became the parent, and the child said to the mother, "When I was your father, I didn't make you go to bed before 10 o'clock. What is this having to go to bed at 8? There are, when the child can be open and not inhibited about memories about their past, they can be open and have their memories. Often the memories are overcome by other factors. Each case is an individual case with different reasons for choosing the parents individual things to connect the parent up with the child. The child may even just want to come in for a couple of years and then leave. And this sometimes can be hard on a parent. Parents go through a lot in raising the child, and many times the child takes things personally that are not even personal to the child. That's something that the parent is working through and inflicts upon the child. Then the child takes it personally or feels not good enough. It is a means of working through patterns, establishing stability, getting a life so one can again experience the joys and the sadness and the growth that is available in this density. We hope that helps.
Thank you very much. And next question here. The question is from Valerie, and I don't have her city, I don't think. But her question is her instincts and senses and even dream messages tell her I have to spin counterclockwise, not clockwise. It feels natural for me to spin counterclockwise even while I'm dancing. But we've been advised.
Could you repeat that last sentence?
It feels natural to spin counterclockwise even while I'm dancing. So our question is, should I trust my intuition on this? Or should I take your direction? Thank you.
Thank you. Some individuals shall spin in the other direction. There are times in a person's life when a chakra may be cleaning itself and to move in a counterclockwise direction. There is a book, Ancient Secrets of the Fountain of Youth, and you may read that for further information. We would suggest not blindly going against your instincts. If you find out more information and try the spinningness and experiment for yourself to see how it is connected with you personally, find out more. Do not blindly do something because someone has said.
Thank you. Now we have two mother questions, and these came in one right after the other, just before the call. And one of them came in on my phone, so I can't really ask it. I'll ask it in my own words. I think I'll get it. One is from Rivia in Canada, and the other is from Acela in San Fernando Valley. And Rivia's mother died quite recently, in the last week or something, and she's wondering if her mom is a better place and why she won't come to me in a dream to tell me that she is okay. And let's start off with that one, and then we'll ask Isella's question.
Thank you. Your mother is in a place of adjustment, intense adjustment, and adjustment of belief systems to her new surroundings. She is still upset. So we suggest that you talk to her and tell her how you feel and establish contact. See if you can help in any way to make a better environment for her, that you are okay. However, do not expect to have everything okay with her immediately. It will take her time for adjustment. She is quite confused over her new situation.
Thank you. And Estella, his mother died some years ago. And of course, we had asked a question about that earlier. It was indicated, as I recall, that her mother didn't die a natural death. Somebody did something to provoke it. But in any case, years later, her sister is getting messages from her mother. And she's not, and she feels like she has things she still wants to clear with her mother. And is there any reason you could share why her sister gets messages and she doesn't? Maybe her sister just has the natural talent to tune into that. She came into this life. I don't know. But thank you.
Could you read the last sentence, the last two sentences again?
Why is it that she's not, her mother's not talking to her, and she's talking to her sister from the other side?
Thank you. Let us take a look. We take a look and ask you to look at the relationships within your family when your mother was alive. Were you allied with your father, and was your sister allied more with other factors? The key here is how you identify with parties that your mother may feel caused her death. Take a look at this, and we would like to hear your response perhaps next week.
Thank you. Next question. With regard to spinning, is it clockwise relative to the ceiling? In other words, if you're imagining spinning, or you're spinning physically, are you spinning clockwise related to the ceiling or related to the floor?
You're turning in a right-hand direction. For those that take this on, we are mindful of the one person who has asked the question about the counterclockwise spin, but it is spinning in a right-hand direction, standing on the floor.
Okay. Thank you. Marshall, I'm going to ask Edna the last question and ask yours. Ask that one next week, okay? I'll fit it in. Edna asks, where is she now? Edna? She asks, it's interesting how we're getting all these questions that are similar today. And, okay. My dear friend Gerhard passed away last year. He's been in my mind, and I'm trying to communicate with him. How can I make sure to have a pure connection with Gerhard? I have been trying through meditations and dreams, but all the energies of the other entities seem to be blocking the way. I really appreciate help to find my way to Gerhard. Thank you, and I will love you. Thank you.
Thank you. If you have a picture of Gerhard or you have a memory in your mind of Gerhard, and what does Gerhard look like? What does Gerhard feel like? Did Gerhard ever have an individual smell? What is Gerhard's soul signature? When you can sit and clear your mind, motive stack, anything bothering you, to set it to the side, and then to remember back to an interaction with Gerhard. Remember back to things people have said about Gerhard until you get a whiff of this whole signature of Gerhard and his frequencies. And then when you do, you can tune to Gerhard and his soul signature. And when you tune to that, he will be on your same frequency, and you can then have an openness toward contacting him to eliminate other extraneous influences like other beings. Do what is called motive stacking, to stack any extraneous experience influence to the side for the moment, to clear the space, and then any other problems or situations or thoughts or encroaching energies can be resumed at the end of your exercise.
Thank you. And it's 7:56. I'm going to just answer the astral projectionist. Hosue, I don't know how to say your name. Josue. Can we learn from it? Is it safe? Can it be done in a safe way? A lot of people astral project, and it's supposedly safe. But they said last week or the week before that it's possible to disconnect, it's possible to meet a spook up there, and that it's, I don't think it was recommended. Proceed at your own caution. I think that's the answer to that. And do we have any final words from our sources before we say goodbye?
Thank you. It is a sacred moment of time when we can so meet with all of you, and we are very appreciative of each and every one of you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for honoring us to take the time to deal with all our human questions, and thank all of you for being here, and thank everyone who was participating in our parents' questions at the beginning, and we'll see you Sunday. And if you're new to the call, our Sunday call is probably got the highest energy, the most healing on it, and you have to experience it to see what it is. Okay? So thank you.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you,
everyone.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.